Hey, so what is up? What is up? God bless you. It is Valentine's Day of 2024. God bless you. God bless you. We are back in session, and our topic for the next few or several days is all about kingdom value. We are going to be looking at the difference between your worldly and earthly value versus your kingdom value. Amen. And please excuse me, as you guys may hear, I am under the weather, went away on vacation, and came back home with a cold. And so this is the first time that I'm going to be doing a lot of talking. So please excuse me. Amen. And so today's topic is all about how can we overcome the negative self-talk. Amen. When we engage in negative self-talk, that can decrease our kingdom value. Excuse me. Oh, you guys know that I choose to be dedicated to what the Lord has for me to do, even if that means I have to get on when I am under the weather. Amen. So let's do what we came to do. We are going to pray. We're going to process today's devotional in God resilient, and we're going to pursue God's word. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, and we honor you. Father God, I yield myself to you, Lord. Speak through me. Father God, rise up within me that I put aside whatever is going on in the physical body, Lord God. Oh, to be obedient unto you and your word and what you are doing in this season. Father God, have your way and move by your power, Lord God. May this message be a blessing. May you show up and demonstrate your power and demonstrate your might through me. Give us revelatory insight through thy Holy Spirit, God. Speak to us. Give us direction, Lord God. Make it clear, make it plain, Lord God, and order our steps. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. So, overcoming negative self-talk. We all have it. How many times, excuse me, God bless you. Thank you so much, Terry. God bless you. Terry and Gil, I love you. Thank you so much for your healing and your blessings and your prayers. Amen. I missed you as well. It was wonderful to be back to do God's work, but it's also wonderful to take some R&R. Amen. And so when you, I got to catch my breath, y'all. Y'all, excuse me. I promised that I would be on today. And I want to do what thus saith the Lord. So forgive me because I am running out of breath. Amen. But when we are human. The devil is a liar. Amen. I will do what thus saith the Lord. Amen. I will push past my flesh. Amen. I will put my physical body under subjection. Amen. This word shall come forth. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So, you know, when we first get into a relationship, right, we have these conversations. And a lot of times that conversation is around the topic of what do you bring to the table? What cards are you playing with? Amen. Especially when you talk about either intimate relationships, business relationships, or even if you are in a job interview, that potential employer wants to know what values, what skills, what do you have that you are bringing to the table. Amen. How do you handle situations? What are your past experiences? What is your level of education? Have you supervised anyone? Have you had to deal with crises? What if everything didn't go according to your schedule? How can you deal with real-time, impromptu, in the moment experiences? And depending on how you answer those questions will cue in the potential employer on whether you are a good fit. God bless you, Elise. It is wonderful to see you this morning. Happy Valentine's Day to you as well. And so, when you are with your employer, when that you're sitting across the table from that potential employer, amen, you are asking questions because you want to know what they are looking for in an employee, and they are asking you questions because it should be a two-way street. They should not just be interviewing you, but you should be interviewing them as well. Because thank you. Thank you so much, Terry. It's okay to slow down. Terry says, it's okay to slow down. Let the Holy Spirit speak through me so that I can breathe and easy does it. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Terry. Whew. So, when you are in that job interview, you want to not just be interviewed, but you should be doing the interviewing. Amen. Because you also want to know what the employer is bringing to the table. What value the employer has. Does that position or job have certain benefits? Is there potential for growth? What type of culture and environment is it? What are their main goals for that organization? What is the culture? Amen. Oh, thank you, Elise. We are so, so grateful. We did enjoy, like my husband and I always say, his birthday is my birthday and my birthday is his birthday. Amen. So we celebrated our birthday. Amen. And God bless you, Rhonda. And so the point of the matter is what value are you bringing to the table? And you want to know from that employer, what value is that employer bringing to the table? Amen. And so when we talk about having kingdom value, we are talking about not what's in the world. Amen. Because the world values individual success. The world values power. It values wealth. And it values pleasure. But we know those of us in the kingdom of God, we value very different things. And so the topic for the next several days is helping you to understand your kingdom value. Amen. What are you bringing to the table? What, as a kingdom representative, as an ambassador of God, what do you have of value? When you enter into a situation, you have more for you than you have against you. You have more spiritual resources than people in the world who have natural resources. We are very fortunate to have spiritual as well as natural resources at our disposal because we belong to God. Amen. Excuse me. So, when we are in God's kingdom, there are things that we have to get over in the natural. There are still things about us that we must overcome. And today, we are going to talk about how to overcome negative self-talk. Because negative self-talk can hinder, excuse me, oh God, it can hinder your kingdom value. Amen. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. So if you guys are wondering, we went up to the mountains and we had such a beautiful time in the mountains. Amen. And we did a lot of outdoor activities. And so the air is different. The heat was different in the house. It was a sister's body got to get adjusted to a lot of different things. I'm not as young as I used to be. Amen. So things affect me differently in this age and stage of life. Amen. Whew. Oh, God bless. God bless. God bless. So, yes, the things that you did before that you could bounce back with no problem, you can no longer do now. Amen. 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 So when the air is different and the heat is different, okay, it affects your body differently. And we can do outdoor activities. You just got to do it a little different than what you did before. Amen. So thank you, at least. We are reading Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. Amen. And I am reading in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And the Word of God states, Moses answered, "What if they won't believe me and will not obey me, but say, 'The Lord did not appear to you?'" The Lord asked him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. "Throw it on the ground," he said. So Moses threw it on the ground. It became a snake, and he ran from it. The Lord told Moses, "Stretch out your hand and grab it by the tail." So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. "This will take place," he continued, "so that they will believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you." In addition, the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So he put his hand inside his cloak. And when he took it out, his hand was diseased, resembling snow or leprosy. "Put your hand back inside your cloak," he said. So he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, it had again become like the rest of his skin. "If they will not believe you and will not respond to the evidence of the second sign, to the evidence of the first sign, excuse me, they may believe the evidence of the second sign. And if they don't believe even these two signs or listen to what you say, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the Nile will become blood on the ground." But Moses replied to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past or recently or since you have been speaking to your servant, because my mouth and tongue are sluggish." The Lord said to him, "Who placed a mouth on humans?" Amen. "Who makes a person mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." Moses said, "Lord, please send someone else." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "Isn't Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, he is on his way now to meet you. He will rejoice when he sees you. You will speak with him and tell him what to say. I will help both you and him to speak and will teach you both what to do. He will speak to the people for you. He will serve as a mouth for you, and you will serve him as God to him. And take this staff in your hand that you will perform the signs with." Amen. Praise God. So here we see that God was demonstrating. Thank you, William Webb IV. I love you. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Elise. God bless you. So here you see that all of the signs, God was giving Moses very specific instructions. And he was showing Moses every single thing to do. Everything. He had it. It was already in the bag. God was talking to him. He did, he demonstrated, "All right, so when you get there, do this. When you get there, do that. Don't worry about it. I got you. If they don't believe this sign, show them this sign. If they don't believe that sign, show them this sign." God was right there doing it all. But what did Moses say? Moses began to speak negatively of himself. Amen. He was like, looking at verse 10. "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent." Amen. "Neither in the past or recently or since you have been speaking to your servant. Because my mouth and my tongue are sluggish. I have a speech impediment." Amen. It's like, God already knows these things. God already knows everything about you. Your strengths, your weaknesses. So why are we bringing up stuff to the Lord that he already knows? Excuse me. Why are we doing that? Like my husband says, William, God gives specific instructions. He was giving Moses specific instructions. And a lot of those instructions didn't necessarily say this, say that. The instructions was throw down your staff, pick it up again. Do you got to talk to throw down the staff and pick it up again? No. The instructions was, put your hand in your cloak. Take it out. Put the hand back in the cloak. You don't have to talk to put your hand in your cloak and take it out. You ain't got to talk to do that. So why was Moses bringing up the fact that he can't speak. Then it was like, okay, if that don't work, go get some water from the Nile River. You don't have to talk to go get water from the Nile River and pour it on the ground. And then it's going to turn to blood. And I'm not saying that Moses would not have to say anything at all. But God already had the answer. God was saying, do these signs. He didn't say speak. He didn't have to stand up there and speak the whole time. All he had to do was follow instructions. And those instructions did not involve speaking. But what did Moses do? Moses brought up his weaknesses. Moses brought up his fallacies. We don't have to do that with God. God already knows. But we talk ourselves out of things. We see everything that's wrong with us. And God is trying to get you to overcome your negative self-talk. He wants you to stop speaking negatively about yourself. You have kingdom value. And your kingdom value has nothing to do with your flesh. Your kingdom value has nothing to do with your strengths or with your weaknesses. Excuse me. Amen. Nothing. Okay. Now, God used Moses for three reasons. Moses had a very unique position. This had nothing to do with his eloquence of speech. Moses' unique position to be able to face Pharaoh was because he had a dual position. His position was unique because it was dual. He was a Hebrew and he grew up in Pharaoh's court. So he understood royalty. He understood the culture. He understood what it took and how to go before a king. And they did not just view Pharaoh as a king. The Egyptians viewed Pharaoh as a god. Just like there are protocol when you enter before the Lord, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Just like that's a protocol to enter into God's presence and God's courts, there's a protocol before entering Pharaoh. Moses understood the protocol. Did the protocol have a lot to do with speaking? I don't know. Maybe it did. So who else could represent and go before Pharaoh if not Moses? Amen. Rhonda says, it's about what God can do with us instead of what we can do by ourselves. We got to depend on God. God bless you, Rhonda. Yes, William says, my husband, in our weakness, God is made strong. Amen. God bless you, cuz. It's wonderful to see you on this Valentine's. Amen. So we have to overcome the negative self-talk. We say these things about ourselves. God saw value in Moses. There was kingdom value in Moses because of his unique position, because of his dual role. He had dual citizenship. He was a citizen and a member of the Hebrews, and he was a citizen and a member of Egypt. Our dual citizenship helps us in where God has for us. What are your dual citizenships? For some of us, being black and a woman, I represent African American, and I represent being a woman. That means that I can speak to an African American woman. But guess what? I'm a married African American woman. I'm a educated African American woman. Okay? I am a, you know what I mean? The more that you have, the more unique positions that you have, God can use those positions because it has kingdom value. Because that means that you can speak to a particular group of people. Don't minimize your unique positions that you have. Because God sees it as kingdom value. If you are a man, if you've ever, think about it, if you've ever been in the streets, amen, and God calls you out of the streets, you have a unique position. Because not only are you a man that understands the grips of being in the street, but then you can understand the power of God because he is the only one that can pull you out of the streets. That puts you in a unique position to speak to somebody else. But what do we do? No, I got this background. No, I done been in the streets. No, people know certain things about me. No, I can't do this because instead of going to school, I was in the streets, so I don't have an education. I mean, whatever your situation is, we got to stop the negative self-talk because we talk ourselves out of the blessing. Then the next point of the reason why God used Moses is because he had a powerful transformation. His transformation was powerful. God can take any aspect of your weakness. Amen, because you are right. It is never too late. God can take every aspect of your background and transform it and have you in places standing before people that you never thought that you would be standing in front of. God can take your miseducation, your undereducation, whatever it is. I'm just using education as an example. It doesn't matter what it is, your age, your whatever. It doesn't matter because God can transform it. He can transform it. And what did he do? He transformed Moses' situation. And God will always provide. God provided the specific instructions on the front end. All right, take the staff, use your staff, use your hand, and use the water from the Nile River. Very simple things that God told Moses to use in a very powerful way. A staff, his hand, and the water from the Nile River. Come on now. God can take anything and transform it. God can take anything and use it as a sign or a wonder to speak to you and to other people. He will take the simple things to confound the wise. The simple things. He will make the weak overpower the strong. Amen. So then that's what God used on the front end. So here we go. But I can't do this. And I can't do that. And I'm slow with my tongue. And I've never been eloquent. And I don't know how to talk. And blah, 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 blah. All the things that we say about ourselves. God got mad. Think about it. His anger kindled towards Moses. And guess what he said? He was like, all right, then, go get your brother. Go get your brother Aaron. He's a Levite. Not only will he be glad to see you, but teach him what to say. Let him speak on your behalf. Think about it. God did not call Aaron. God called Moses. But God is like, I am going to get this done, and you are going to be the one. So guess what? I will get you the help that you need. That's not my first choice. My first choice is to use you, and I want you to depend on me. So I need you to overcome all this negative stuff that you say about yourself, because it's not about you. It's about what I can do through you. You have kingdom value. And let me use your weakness as a powerful transformation. I knew you couldn't talk when I called you. I knew your tongue was slow when I called you. But I called you anyway. Because you have a unique position. Because you have kingdom value. Let me work through you. Amen. Then the last point that I want to make is God made a deliberate choice. When God chose Moses, his choice was deliberate. It wasn't circumstantial. It wasn't happenstance. It wasn't like, oh, okay, well, let me pick any, meeny, miny, mo. God doesn't do any, meeny, miny, mo. God doesn't draw sticks. God doesn't cast lots. Thank you. My husband says we overcome by the power of our testimony. We have kingdom value. He also says God was very strategic. God is very strategic in what he does. Amen. Rhonda says, remember Paul the Apostle. Amen. He killed Christians before he became a Christian. He is still recognized today as a great man of God. We need to overcome our negative self-talk. Did we hear Paul say, no, but I killed Christians, God. You can't use me because I did this and I did that. You can't use me. Paul didn't say that. Amen, Terry. Terry says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Come on now. You have kingdom value. You count yourself out with the negative things that you say about yourself. But thank God that he doesn't count you out. God, as we say in the church vernacular, God qualifies the called. He doesn't call the qualified. God made a deliberate choice when he chose Moses. It was deliberate. He knew you are the one. Based on your experiences, based on your personality, and guess what? Even based on your weaknesses. Because if you knew how to talk, if you were eloquent in speech, you would not depend on me. If you had X, Y, and Z, then you would be dependent on yourself. I know who you are when I called you. I know everything about you, and I know all of your experiences, and I counted it all. I took it all into account when I called you, because you have kingdom value. Those things about you have kingdom value. They may not have worldly value. Your slow tongue may not have worldly value. Your lack of education may not have worldly value. You being black in some instances may not have worldly value. You being a woman in some instances may not have worldly value. What you have in your bank account may not have worldly value, but I'm telling you, you have kingdom value. I need you to look at yourself the way God looks at you, not the way the world looks at you. Because, honey, Jesus told us the world love its own. The world doesn't reject its own. The world receives its own because he or she belongs to the world. But I've called you out of the world. You don't belong to the world. So you don't have the same value that the world has. You have kingdom value. So stop speaking negatively about yourself. Stop looking in the mirror and seeing everything wrong with you. Know that I'm going to use all of this, all your personality, your gender, your race, your culture, your experiences. I am going to use it all because I, God, find value in it. Because you are a puzzle piece. You can fit in a certain culture. You can fit in a certain situation. You can fit in a certain field. You can fit in a certain place. You can fit in a certain environment. When you submit to me, when you allow me to use you, when you do what I called you to do, you have a place, and what you have has value. Amen. So don't forget, our key phrases is kingdom value, unique position, powerful transformation, and a deliberate choice. Amen. So now, I'm going to leave you with these three questions that I want you to ponder over. What is your unique position? Put these questions in the chat. Because as you type them, you're going to meditate on it. It's going to trigger something in your mind. So type these questions in the chat. Because the goal is, you may not meditate on all three of them, but something about one of these questions is going to make you think about something. What is your unique position? Your unique position, not my unique position, not somebody else's unique position. What is your unique position? The next question, how has God transformed you that he can use to help somebody else? Amen. How has God transformed you, and where he can use your transformation to be a testimony to help somebody else? Amen. And how is God using you deliberately? How is God deliberately using you to fit his overarching plan? Remember, God has an overarching plan. That's not our plan. God has a plan. He has people he wants to save. It is not God's will that any man should perish, but that all shall accept him and have life and to be saved. Amen. So what deliberate choice, or how is God deliberately choosing you to fit in his overall plan, his overarching plan? Meaning, how is God using you to save somebody else's life? How is God using you to minister to somebody else? How is God using you to bring salvation to other people? Amen. Y'all, thank y'all for your prayers. Amen. We got through this message. Amen. Continue to pray for me because I am going to be on, God willing, tomorrow at 7 a.m. Amen. Don't know, monkey, stop God's show. Amen. And we definitely not going to let this monkey of a cold stop God's show. Amen. I am praying that it was a slow start, but we were able to get through it. Amen. So don't forget, for the next several days, we will be discussing kingdom value. Amen. Don't forget, you have kingdom value. Stop that negative self-talk, because that negative self-talk, it won't necessarily diminish your kingdom value, but it will diminish your representation of God. It will diminish your confidence in the Lord. It will diminish how you move. Because God's still going to use you if you continue to say yes. But look at what God did. He had to go get Aaron. Don't let God go get Aaron on you. You don't need Aaron. All you need is God. Trust God. You don't need Aaron. You hear me? It's you and the Lord. And let him bring who he wants to bring to assist you. But don't let him bring somebody because you are not willing to trust in his power. Because you are speaking negatively about yourself. You don't need an Aaron. All you need is God. And God's power, God's grace, God's mercy. He's going to show you the way. He's going to give you specific instructions. You have a unique position. Trust God. Amen. Trust God. Because what if Aaron would have said no? What if Aaron held up the process? Amen. Zeddy, God bless you, mama. It's so glad to see you on YouTube. Amen. 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 Love you, mama. Love you. Love you. Love you. Amen, y'all. You have a unique position. You do. You. I love y'all. God bless you. We are going to be here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Keep me in prayer. Amen. As I fight through this cold, but we shall be obedient unto the Lord. Mwah. God bless you. Have a wonderful day and happy Valentine's Day. Mwah. God bless you.